All right. So let's get started. Let's see how we check the roll here.
Okay. Aguirre?
Here.
Arambula?
Here.
Fletcher?
Here.
Frank? Galvez?
Here.
Gomez? Hall?
Here.
McClellan?
Here.
Montgomery?
Here.
Moreno?
Moreno here.
Salas?
Salas here.
Sankey? Sotelo Solis?
Sotelo Solis here.
Ward?
Here.
Weber?
Here.
Thank you all. With that, we have a quorum. We appreciate everyone's convening and everyone's flexibility in terms of timing and the teleconference nature of what we're doing. If there's no objection, I'd like to take the CEO report out of order and have Paul kind of give us an update on the status of our system, the actions that we're taking, the things that are being done. So if we can just do the CEO report, I know there's some pertinent information there that's on everyone's mind.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. It's been hectic, and I've spent a lot of time out with employees over the past week. But I want to assure you first that we're in constant communication with both riders and employees. We've issued a series of COVID-19 updates to employees. One just went out at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. We have already developed a stay-at-home work policy for administrative employees, and that is being implemented now. We developed a company-wide texting program that we can communicate with all employees via text from my phone. We've been very active with social media. Social media responses have been very positive, especially with us maintaining service. And we sent out a news release. There's obviously several things on everybody's mind. One of them is ridership. Ridership is down, and I think we haven't seen the bottom yet. Preliminary numbers show that we're probably down at least 30% on trolley. The blue line is still holding with some strong trips, especially in the afternoon peak with almost 200 people to train. Bus ridership is down more. It's all over the place on all the routes, but my guess is that overall it's probably approaching 40%. I mean, we have some routes like up at UCSD with Superloop, et cetera, without students there, have just been gone through the roof, or gone through the floor, I should say. But it's holding. Into other schools, and the green line and the orange line are probably down more than the blue line, especially where the schools are. So we are preparing plans to reduce service to meet demand. I think it would probably take us a week and a half at least to implement those. I've kind of told everybody that we wouldn't do anything right away for two reasons. One is that I still am hopeful that this is not a long duration issue, and that we don't reduce a lot of service and then have to get into laying people off, or having our contractors laying people off, because once we do that, it will be more difficult to ramp up when this is over. But also, by having a little bit more service out there than demand actually warrants, gives us the ability to socially distance a little bit more on both trains and buses. And so, at least for the time being, that's where we're going to go. We are talking to the unions, both the IBEW and SMART and the ATU, about how we can keep people working, even if we, I mean, the big thing right now, we don't have one person that has contracted the virus, and everybody's coming to work, and everybody is upbeat about coming here and coming to work, which is really good to see. So I think eventually we have to have plans that if we do start to lose drivers, and bus drivers especially, are right on the front line. We have taken some precautions in moving the white line on the bus back towards this, probably another 4 or 5 feet back, so that people don't stand up close to the driver and talk, to maintain some social distance there, and that's being well received by operators. Also, our security too is as much dealing with the public as bus drivers do, and we've told them to be much more cautious with respect to social distancing, and certainly we're reminding everybody almost every day to wash hands and to use wipes and to clean off their phones, and et cetera. We've also started to have more procurement issues with the things that we need in terms of hand sanitizer, in terms of gloves, in terms of different kinds of soaps, bleaches, all those things. So I did institute some emergency procurement rules yesterday that allows our procurement staff, when they find these, that they can procure them right away, because we find that if we wait too long, they just disappear. And of course, all of those will be in front of the board for ratification and purchases that are made that way. I don't expect it to be a lot of money, but it does exceed the threshold sometimes. Right now we're going to be hurting on passenger revenue, and our costs are about the same. We are strong on reserves. We still have good TDA reserves also, as well as our financial reserves. And I think, right now we should adopt a wait-and-see attitude to see how long this continues, so that we're able to ramp up very quickly when things return to normal. And that's about it. We're communicating with the county. We're communicating with the health department. We're asking everybody to really put their best efforts forward to stay healthy right now. So that's about it, and I'll answer any questions.
Thank you, Paul. Before we go to questions, I just want everyone to know that in all the actions we've taken from a public health order standpoint, from the County of San Diego, and those certainly apply countywide, transit is deemed an essential service. And ensuring that we have transit available is vital, and that even if things continue to, the dial continues to turn with more aggressive actions, we will still have to maintain our transit system because it is a vital pathway for essential workers to get where they need. It's also a function that a lot of folks use to access healthcare services. And so, regardless of where things head, we are gonna need and depend on our transit system to remain operating in the appropriate capacity. All right, with that, let's open it up for questions or comments for this discussion item.
Hi, this is Vice Chair Sotelo Solis. Thank you, Chair Fletcher and Paul, for the update. My question is with regards to the route, because it is an essential service, how will any of the routes then be downsized or I don't want to say eliminated? And then two, who and how will that decision be made?
Well, this is Paul. Essentially what we are looking at is, I'll call it a modified Saturday service. If we were to implement that, that would save us about 25% of the service for Saturday levels. But I think we would probably beef up that service, certainly early mornings with the trolley with increased frequency, and maybe even some more frequency on the bus route. So it won't be pure Saturday. It'll be a beefed up Saturday. And I think, you know, I think we should watch ridership. I'll be talking to Chair Fletcher about whether the ridership just doesn't support running the full service at all, and how we can do that. But also, if we begin to see a greater level of infection from employees, and we just don't have the bodies in order to do that. I should also tell you, since I'm talking about employees and sickness, you know, employees do have a big concern, you know, if and when they do get sick, and if their family gets sick, and if they're self-contained. So I've told everybody too that they should not worry about that. While we will ask people to use their sick time and to use their vacation time if something happens, we will not let them run out and not be paid either. So whether we get into a situation of advancing sick time or vacation time, we'll do that and not leave people hanging.
Thank you, Paul. Just a follow-up. Who, for the first part of the question, and that's good, we should not leave those most vulnerable not getting paid, so I appreciate that comment. Just with that first part of my question, though, is how and who will make the decision if we beef up, you know, the Saturday, service, if we were to go to that route, like you said, the modified, would it come to the board for ratification? Is it something that is done by yourself in the chair? Just for clarity for the rest of the board members. Thank you.
Well, I think what I would do is, building up to that, I would have a recommendation, and I would lay out why that recommendation is being made, whether it's for employee availability or it's just that ridership is down to 25 or 30% of normal. And if we're going to continue to pay drivers and everybody and keep them whole, we'll need to save some cost. And I'll share that with Chair Fletcher, and then I would presume, and I don't want to presume anything, Chair, that we will put that out to the board and receive comments. But.
Perfect. Anything else, Vice Chair?
All
right.
That was it. Thank you.
Next up, so conference calls, as we all are getting very familiar with them, are kind of a mess with everyone that we haven't done it today, but I've been on some that have been a mess. So we're going to make sure everyone has a chance to answer their questions. If you just want to text me, you got a question, then I'll put you in the queue, kind of like we do when we turn our lights on. So next we'll go to Councilmember Ward.
Thank you for the update. And Paul, I got just a couple questions. One, can you give us an update on the status of operational reserves that might be appropriately used for keeping the system as robust as possible? Two, what is the sort of prognosis, anything that your team is watching for at either state or federal aid levels that might be applicable for us to continue service as robust as possible? Three, on the service levels, for routes that we are considering modifying, what might be the turnaround time? I know Vice Mayor or Mayor Casales-Lee asked about who makes a decision, but what do you anticipate would be a turnaround time so we can inform the public to make modifications? And four, I'm wondering about our on-demand service and how those levels might be able to continue to be made whole or be able to be used in lieu of routes that might be cut.
Okay, let me see. I think I have all the questions. Well, we have $35 million in reserves. That's our reserve level right now. So it really depends on, we'll start to do some forecasting. I mean, we do have an existing budget, and so where we're looking at right now is a loss in passenger revenue for the balance of the fiscal year, which is April, May, June. So it's one quarter. So the fiscal impact is probably not going to be any more than $10 million. It could be $10 to $15 million, but I don't want to throw that out there. Let me do some more work on that. We have been working with both the state and the feds with respect to transit emergency assistance. The California Transit Association, we filled out all systems in the state filled out a questionnaire yesterday in terms of cost, extraordinary cost, as well as revenue losses, et cetera. And that is going up to our state lobbyists. We did the same thing at the federal level. The American Public Transit Transportation Association has already put in a $10.5 or $10.9 billion emergency request from transit to cover loss of fare revenue and additional costs. So we're hoping that we can put that in. Certainly it wouldn't be in the House bill that just got done. Theoretically, it could be put in with the Senate, but more than likely it would be considered in the next go-around of emergency funding. The timing on anything, it's probably going to take us a couple more days to get a theoretical plan in place. We would then follow union procedures in terms of selecting work. That would take at least 3 days, and then all during that time we would communicate. So I wouldn't see us being able to do anything for at least a week and a half, at roughly. I mean, I think we could expedite it. Just know that we're talking with labor. You know, there's a couple of ways to go with this. You know, if we had if we have 25% of our people not working, that makes it a little bit easier, although not desirable. But if we were just to reduce service levels by 25%, you know, the typical way to do this would be to reverse pick work, and the top 25%, the highest seniority people, would just pretty much stay home. I think it's important that everybody work. So what we probably will consider is, instead of picking 40 hours worth of work, picking 32 hours worth of work. And so we keep 100% of the employees working at 32 hours. And then we can make the decision about making up the other 8 hours to make them whole for 40. But I think that having people come to work and working and not just staying home is probably a better way to proceed.
Got it.
And lastly, access. Access ridership is way down. Mike, what's today's numbers? It's approaching 80% reduction now. We did communicate with all access riders and say, you know, we certainly understand that, you know, this population is among the most vulnerable. And so we're here and we have full service and we're ready to transport. But, you know, for your own safety, reconsider discretionary trips. And they have followed suit with that. So, you know, right now we're working with First Group, the supplier, in how they cope with having much less billable hours to bill against.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next, Council President Gomez.
Yeah, thank you. And I have the questions that I have, Paul. Thanks for that report in terms of how we're handling the situation. And I'm glad that you
mentioned from
Akila Weber.
Transferring call.
You mentioned the distancing to the drivers. Are we also distancing how are we managing the distancing of the passengers if we are?
Well, I think what's happening is that what we're seeing is kind of a self-distancing. If you look on most buses, people are not crowded up all together. They're spread throughout the bus. And the same thing on the rail cars. I mean, we're getting a lot of trips on the rail cars with 60 people or so, and we're running three-car trains. So there's an average of 20 people on a rail car, and people are sitting by themselves. That's what we're seeing.
Okay. Okay, no, that's good, but perhaps we might want to develop something that is a little bit more manageable from our end, just in case that doesn't continue to be the threat, or just to be responsive as well.
Yeah, we can make we can have train operators make announcements that people should try to spread out as much as possible.
Yeah, you mentioned security. I don't know how security right now is, if it's functioning the same way, or maybe they can play a role in managing the distancing. I'm assuming they're not operating the same way that they would if nothing would have changed. So maybe they can play a role in that.
We will.
Thank you. And then lastly, have we reached out to other agencies to see how they're managing or what they're coming up with in terms of adjustments and plans?
Yeah, I was on two calls this week, one with bus CEOs and the other one with rail system CEOs. And, you know, things are kind of all over the map. A lot of systems are already implementing service reductions. WMATA in Washington is reducing by well over 50%. New York, you know, I heard a statistic that their ridership is down like 90% and they're cutting services. A lot of systems are contemplating cutting of services in the same way we are. My guess is that they'll implement quicker than that. Overall, I think most systems are trying to preserve employees' pay and sickness. There is not a lot of infection that I have heard of with any of the systems across the United States. So everybody's got heightened cleaning and all that, the same kind of communications with employees and customers. So we're kind of right in with everybody else.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? I don't have anyone else who's reached out, but of course, anyone else out there has a question? No? All right, with that, we'll get through our agenda and then we'll let everyone get back to work. Item two is approval of the minutes from our February 13th meeting. Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Okay, we have
I'll second it.
Got it. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Item three, do we have any requests for public comment?
We have no requests for public comment.
No requests for public comment. Okay, with that, we will take up the consent calendar. Are there any items that the board or the public wishes to pull?
This is Vivian to pull item 15.
Okay. Any additional items? All right, absent item 15, do we have a motion to approve the rest of the items on the consent calendar?
Motion. This is your set.
Okay, and a second?
Second.
I will second.
Second by who?
Vice Chair.
All right, we have a motion by Georgette Gomez, a second by our Vice Chair. All in favor say aye.
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 That consent calendar carries. Let's move to agenda item 15, fiscal year 2019 to 2020 low carbon transit operations program funding. Is there, Paul, or do you have anyone from staff that would like to make some brief comments on that?
Sure.
Yeah, the LCTOP program is a program where we get a specific set amount of funding from each year. It's a greenhouse gas emissions related funding stream. It must go towards projects that are identified as going to reduce GHG. And we also, because we have disadvantaged communities within our service area, we have to certify that 50% of those funds will be spent on projects or services that will benefit DACs. This resolution is something that we have to authorize. Originally, the authorization was due by the end of the month. They just extended the deadline, but if we get it done today, then we can go ahead and forward it to the state. We are asking to move some of the funding into the next year's CIP so that we can have a larger sum of money to spend on zero emission bus purchases and infrastructure. So that would allow us to have a larger lump sum of about $12 million to spend in that year when we think we can do so. And that's why we're only asking to spend $225,000 of that this year. And that is for the design of the electric. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Moreno, you have some questions?
Yeah, thank you for the presentation. And as was mentioned, most of this low carbon transit operation program funding is going to be used for fiscal year 2019 to 2020, carry forward for future projects, but no specific projects are listed. How did MTS staff determine that 100% of the allocated funds are providing direct and meaningful benefits to disadvantaged communities without knowing which specific project will be funded?
Well, the goal of this is to have funding for zero emission buses, which will be used throughout the service area. We currently have a pilot underway in which we're using the buses in a variety of different routes throughout the network. And we're using those buses currently mostly to try to understand better how to operate efficiently and successfully with the new technology. And then this would allow us to start replacing our existing CNG fleet with new zero emission bus technology. And so that is the goal. We can't really purchase more. We're actually purchasing articulated zero-emission buses for the IRIS BRT, which will operate in the south part of the county along the existing 950 route and some other extensions. That's in the planning stage right now, but we will be purchasing those buses, and that is in a disadvantaged community.
Okay. And is MTS meeting the low carbon transit operation program community outreach obligation? And what outreach was done this year as part of the program?
Well, right now we're doing a program, an outreach program through Elevate, as along with through the IRIS BRT project.
Okay. I'm happy to move this item today, especially during the current pandemic, but any and all funding for MTS is right now obviously necessary. But I would like to put ourselves on notice that MTS, we need to do a better job of meeting the goals of this program. I'd like to see a more specific allocation of funding in the future, as well as more robust community outreach as required by the program. So with that, I'm happy to make a motion.
Thank you. We have a motion by Councilmember Moreno. Is there a second?
I will second. That is Councilmember Montgomery, but I also want to with Councilmember Moreno on this program.
Sure, good enough. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, that carries unanimously. We have no closed session, no notice of public hearings, no discussion items, report items. Chair's report is super brief. You know, everyone in all of their jurisdictions is confronting and dealing with this challenge, and so we will continue to work to make sure the integrity of our transit system remains. You know, I just want to reiterate, it is an essential service, and we may have to make modifications and changes and you know, work through social distancing and all the steps we've taken around hygiene. But it is something that we have to continue to have operating regardless of the length of time that we endure through the impacts on our economy and our societies for what we deal with. So we appreciate everyone's help and support. For the foreseeable future, we will continue to not have in-person board meetings. I think we'll work with MTS staff to see if we can transition to maybe a Zoom-type platform that allows folks to be easier to see presentations and each other with conversations and discussions. And we appreciate everyone's continued support of our transit workers and our staff at MTS as we go through this difficult time. Next meeting date is April 16th, 2020. And obviously, if we have any concerns or issues between now and then, please let us know, and we will address them all. So thank you all very, very much for joining us, and we'll stay in regular contact. Thank you.